Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Stacy. Appreciate that. And just love the Shepherd's program. And I'll tell you, it's just a blessing to watch all the workers. We have so many workers, people in the church that help out, as with all our ministries. So many people are involved here, and that's crucial. Otherwise, we cannot do all the things we do. If you can only imagine the Shepherd's ministry, each week, nearly 100 folks that come, and many of them need help. They need somebody to kind of help them out, and thank God for so many people that they don't just do it to do it. They love working with people, and that is a blessing. Well, here in Revelation 21, it's exciting. The day will come, one day, when we won't have to help people go down steps. Amen. Won't have to do sign language anymore. People that wear glasses won't need them anymore. If you wear contacts, you can flip them out. And they're not going to need those. And if you have, if you're hard hearing and you have to have help with that, won't need that anymore. And one of these days in heaven. That's what I want to talk to you about. The passage Revelation 21, 1-3. And I realize that we're a little later than usual. The message will not be a long message, but I want you to listen carefully. The last song, of course, that we sang together, "The Light of That City." It's talking about heaven. And for some folks, you don't talk about heaven very much. You don't hear much about heaven. But of course, in a church setting, and here at our church especially, we talk about heaven a lot. In the Shepherd's ministry, we talk about heaven a lot. And if I want them to wear me out as a preacher, I just start talking about heaven. And they'll amen and shout and get all fired up. And I like that as a preacher. It doesn't bother me at all. But it's because of heaven. It's because what a wonderful, wonderful thing and promise and hope that we have, that is heaven. It's where saved people, those who've trusted Christ as Savior, it's where they spend all eternity. Now, we can't imagine eternity. It's forever. And heaven is where we're going to be. And it's a wonderful wonder. You say, well, I always thought you just, everybody wears a white robe and they play harps up on a cloud and all. Oh, no. Heaven's a wonderful place. And I want to talk to you about heaven. Father, I pray you bless now. Again, as we open up the Word of God, I pray you'll help us to understand it. And especially if there's anyone here who's never trusted Christ as Savior, they don't know for sure they're going to heaven. Lord, I pray that you'd save them today in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to give you some points about heaven that I think will be a blessing to you. I actually gave some of these when I spoke to the Shepherd's ministry several months ago when we first started practicing the song, because I wanted them to think about heaven when we sang the song, "The Light of That City." I wanted it to be on their minds. I wanted them to imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. And so we come from Revelation 21, and we're going to look all around Revelation 21. And just real quick, I want to give you some things about heaven that the Bible talks about. And again, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, let me tell you something. You ought to get saved just because of heaven. You ought to get saved to go to heaven. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to go to heaven. Number one, heaven is promised. Heaven is promised. The Bible is very clear, many, many verses about that. But in John chapter 14, and you might want to go back and forth, John chapter 14, because that is one of our favorite passages about heaven. But Jesus says in John 14 that he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Look what he says. "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Notice the promise that where I am, there ye may be also. Yeah, no question about that. Where I am, there ye may be also. Back here in Revelation 21, the Bible says in verse 5, and we didn't read all that way, but it says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." That's what God's promises are. If God says it, it's true, it's faithful. Hey, you can count on that, no doubt about it. But notice what he says. "He said unto me, It is done. It is done." One of these days, that's what's going to be said. It is done. Now, for now, it's a promise, but someday it's going to be done. Amen? And we're going to be in heaven. If you're saved today, if you've trusted Christ, you say, well, I just don't know. Hey, he's the faithful and true. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega." That's the beginning and the end. If anyone knows, he would know. And one of these days it will be said, it's done. Praise God. Isn't that something? it's done. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. What was finished? Price was paid for our sins. Price was paid so that man could go to heaven. Jesus had to die on a cross. He had to be the sacrifice so that you and I, because we're sinners, so that our sins could be forgiven. One of these days, when we're in heaven, it'll be, it is done. Everything's done. The promises have come true. And what a blessing that is. It's promised. Heaven is promised. And in verse 7 it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. It doesn't say might. It says shall. That's God's promise. It says, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Done. Finished. God promised it. By the way, when God promises it, it might as well be done. It is as sure as done. Heaven is promised. Praise God. Number two, heaven is being prepared. Heaven is, notice what it says in verse 2 of chapter 21, Revelation. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. He said, I've got some preparations to make. And here, very, very clearly, it says that it comes as a bride adorned for her husband. In verse 5, he says, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things, how? New. Huh? And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Heaven is being prepared, and all things are going to be new. Notice it's a new heaven. It's a new earth. It'll be perfect. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But all things are new. You know, God started in his preparation. He started with you and I. Because in heaven, there can be no sin. In heaven, there could be no corruption. In heaven, there could be no wickedness. And so for you and I to be able to go there, oh, that's where God had to start in the preparation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, go ahead and look at it real quick. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we see the scripture that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And God, in his preparation, he had to save us so we could go to heaven. He had to send his son Jesus to die on a cross to pay for our sins, so that our sins could be covered by the blood of Jesus, so that we could be righteous in his sight, so that we could be new creatures. Amen. So that we could be, you've heard the terminology, born again. And so when a person becomes born again, they then have citizenship in heaven. And one of these days, we're going to be there. Heaven is being prepared. And Jesus says he's building a mansion. And you know, somebody says, well, just give me a little cabin. And go, forget cabins, man. I'm taking the mansion God has for me. Amen. I don't care about any cabin. I don't want something that, let me tell you something. Mansion, he says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to do what? Prepare a place for you. Amen. And I believe at the corner of Hallelujah Boulevard and Glory Lane, God has a mansion for me. I don't know how much land is there, but I think there's a nice pond in the back and a creek running around through that. And I'm excited about that. Amen. And he's preparing things. He already prepared me when I was 17 years old. I called on him and he came into my heart and he saved me. And now I'm ready and I can go. I hope you're ready today. Heaven is promised. Number two, heaven is prepared. Number three, heaven is pretty. Oh my. I can't even imagine. The Bible just gives us a tiny glimpse. Watch this. Revelation 21. Back to Revelation. Revelation 21 and verse 18. In the building of the wall of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold. Huh? Like unto clear glass. That's pure gold. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysophysis, and the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. The 12 gates, watch this, 12 gates into the city are 12 pearls. Wow, that's a whopper. Can you imagine the oyster? I mean, each gate is made out of a pearl. Isn't that something? The street of the city was pure gold as if it were transparent glass. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Heaven is pretty. says, I saw no temple therein. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun. Isn't that something? Neither of the moon to shine in it. Why? For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. No more consumer bill. Amen. I mean, listen to me. The Lord Jesus is the light of that city. Can you imagine how beautiful that city is? I mean, beautiful precious stones worth millions and millions, gold streets worth millions and millions as we look at it. No night there, constant light. God is the light. Beautiful mansions. We can only imagine. In fact, you know, it's amazing. When the Bible talks about chariots coming from heaven, it just says chariots of fire. You know why? It's just so bright. That's the only way we could describe it. Man could not describe the chariots that came out of heaven. They just said chariots of fire. When angels came from heaven, men had to hide their eyes because of the brightness just of those who came from there. Can you imagine that? Moses and Elijah, they had been with the Lord in heaven and they were transfigured and three disciples got to see him, but they could hardly look at him because of the brightness because they'd been in heaven. The brightness, if you can only imagine, streets of gold, walls of all these jewels that every woman would love to have, just a teeny one on her finger. Uh-huh. Somebody said this, they said the deeper the water, the bigger the pearls. Somebody said the greater depth that you dig out of the ground, the brighter the jewels. What's the brightness in heaven? It's those who have been redeemed from the depths of sin. Oh, let me tell you the brightness of heaven. It's the joy of those like myself who was literally pulled up out of the miry clay and whose feet were set on a rock, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done today. It doesn't matter how far into the depths you've gone. You could be, if you get saved, you could be the brightest jewel for the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Imagine, you take a little diamond, and I say little because it's not like a whole wall. You take a little diamond, and you let that get in the right light, and it sparkles. Imagine walls of diamonds and emeralds and the most beautiful jewels the world has ever seen. That's heaven. That's heaven and streets of pure gold. Heaven is pretty. Number four, heaven is perfect. We can't imagine that because we don't know what that is. We can't imagine a place where there's no sin. We can't imagine a place where there's no sorrow. We can't imagine a place where there's no tears. And yet God says that's the way it is in heaven. Back in Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Never to tear again in heaven. There shall be no more death. Funeral homes, they'll all be closed. Amen. Hospitals will all be closed. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Oh, glory to God. You know, if you've been visited by the Arthur family, Ritus, Arthur and Itis and all the gang. But let me tell you something, there will be no pain. The former things are passed away. They're gone. Heaven is perfect. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, no wheelchairs, no walkers, none of that kind of stuff, not in heaven. And the Lord Jesus is there. He's doing the preparing. We talked about that a while ago. But the best thing is, where I am, there ye may be also. He's there. Jesus is there. Heaven's perfect because Jesus is there. In fact, if it wasn't a place called heaven, it wouldn't matter. Wherever he is heaven. It's just heaven. Heaven is perfect. Number five, heaven is pure. In verse 8 of chapter 21, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They're not in heaven. Verse 27 of chapter 21 said, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, and there shall be no more curse. Not in heaven. Chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have right, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city, for without her dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, heaven is pure. It is for those who have come to Jesus and said, God, forgive me, I've sinned against you. God, I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. I need the blood of Jesus to cover over my sin so that I can be righteous in your eyes, God. It's a matter of realizing, number one, you're a sinner. And you know the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a person in this room, not one, has never sinned. Not one. There's not a perfect person in this room. Everybody's a sinner, the Bible says. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And the death in the Bible is talking about a place called hell. It's a place opposite of heaven. For everything that is wonderful about heaven, the opposite is some of the terrors of hell. And the Bible says Jesus Christ came and died on a cross to pay your debt, my debt, so that I would not have to go to hell, so that you would not have to go to hell. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how there is purity in heaven. Because you say, well, how can sinners go to heaven? Sinners have to be saved. Sinners have to put on the robe of Jesus' righteousness. And then they can go to heaven. Heaven is pure. And you know, what's amazing is when you think about those who are saved, you know, we may have done all the things in that list. Yeah, you read that list, and I'll be honest with you, I see a lot of people who did those things. But isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus, the blood of Jesus, cleanses us from all sin? Praise God. I mean, heaven is pure. There'll be no lying, no cussing, there'll be no gossip. Won't have to worry about what the news people are saying. Now, I'm not saying news people won't be there. I'm just saying they're going to tell the truth there. And everything's going to be true. Not that they don't all tell the truth now. But, yeah, that got me in trouble. I'm going to send that. I don't care. But you know, it is so exciting to think about a pure place. So exciting to think about heaven being pure. Number six, heaven is populated. Revelation 21, verse 24, it says, it says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Look at that. Nations of them. There's a lot of people. Heaven is populated. Go back to Revelation 7 and verse 9. Revelation 7 and verse 9. It gives us another idea, just a little glimpse. We can only imagine. Revelation 7, 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people. Hey, does that tell you something? Lots of different kinds of people. Amen? All kinds. Nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues. Different languages. Isn't that something? You say, well, I think it's only English. No, no, that's why we have a Spanish ministry. Amen? That's why we have a deaf ministry. There's all kinds of people there. All colors of people. All ethnicities. All kinds of thinking of people and different ideas of people. Isn't that great? And notice, all these people stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed, notice, with white robes and palms in their hand. And again, those white robes, that's the idea of Jesus' righteousness. Amen? But heaven is populated. It's for saved people. People that have trusted Christ as Savior. Not just Baptists. Not just Baptists. Just, listen, saved people. People who've trusted Christ. You say, well, I go to another church. And hey, listen, you can be saved today if you've never called upon Jesus. You need to call upon Jesus. Religion won't get you to heaven. Good works won't get you to heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can get you to heaven. And heaven's populated with all kinds of folks. Oh, Moses is there. Paul's there. Peter's there. I think all of them are bald, personally. I think that's the way it is in perfection. And friends, and my dad's there, my mom's there, my grandparents are there. These dear folks, many of them, you know, when I start talking about people being there, tears start to stream down their cheeks because they know somebody that's there. You know somebody who's there. Hey, if you're not saved, don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be there someday? What a reunion, what a day, what an exciting time that's going to be. Heaven is populated. Number seven, heaven is permanent. Oh, glory to God. Heaven is permanent. John 3:16 talks about everlasting life. Notice in John 3, go to John chapter 3, if you would, and verse 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Boy, that's awesome. Everlasting life. That means it always lasts. That means it never ends. It's everlasting life. And notice it says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We have the understanding that's forever and ever. Boy, wouldn't you rather have everlasting life as opposed to everlasting death? With the wrath of God on you in a place called hell, it doesn't make sense that anyone would choose anything else. Heaven is permanent, just as heaven is permanent. Let me get you to understand, hell is permanent too. Heaven is permanent. John 5 and verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. From death to life. That's what happens when you get saved. From death to life. Heaven is permanent. Praise God. Number eight, heaven is peaceful. Heaven is peaceful. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Revelation, I'm just about done. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Bible says, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Oh, I love that word rest. Real rest in heaven. Heaven's peaceful. In Hebrews 4, it says he gives his beloved ones rest. Oh yeah, he does too. Back to Revelation 21, and in our passage, verse 4, it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Ha, peaceful. Huh? It, neither sorrow, peaceful. Nor crying, peaceful. Neither shall there be any more pain, peaceful. For the former things are passed away. Girls, hey. I'm preaching. Okay, pay attention. The former things are passed away. Good. I mean, you know, everybody in this room right now, there's heartache all over here. People that are going through tough times. There's financial woes all over the state of Michigan, and certainly it affects those in this room. We have loved ones who are going through tough times. We have relationships that are hurting. We have all kinds of things going on right here. Do you understand? In heaven, we'll rest. None of that will exist anymore. None of that will take place anymore. Heaven is peaceful. Number nine, heaven is provided. That's the wonderful thing about it. It's provided. It's all taken care of. Back to John chapter 14. I didn't read all of it because I wanted to save it for this point. But John chapter 14, when Jesus describes heaven, he starts off with, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But notice how he ends this passage in verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He has provided the way for us to go to heaven. There is no other way. I didn't make the rules. I'm not the one. It's not the Baptist church that said, well, this is the only way. No. He said so. He says it's the only way. There is no other way. You say, well, I'm going to try this. You can try anything you want. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. You say, I'll go to God my own way. You're not going to go to God and insult His Son who provided the way. The way's paid. The way, it's provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is what God said to do. heaven is provided. And the last thing, number 10, heaven is possible. I remember as a teenager hearing about heaven. I didn't go to church, didn't grow up going to church. But every now and then somebody would say something about heaven and hell. Every now and then I'd hear something about it. And I remember as a young man, a teenager in my early teens, I remember the first time thinking about, wow, is there really such a place? Is there really such a place as heaven? Well, yeah, heaven's possible. And then when I thought about heaven, I thought immediately that, well, if people go to heaven, it's going to have to be good people. It couldn't be people like me. Did you ever think that? I mean, I knew me. I knew what I was. I knew what I'd done. And I remember a preacher one time standing up and preaching, and he had been involved in all kinds of crime and all kinds of drugs and different things. And I remembered him saying how that God saved him. And that was the first time I realized, wow, if heaven is possible for him, maybe it's possible for me. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful day it was when I realized Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I gave the argument, well, I have nothing to bring. And I realized there was nothing I could bring. I remember thinking, well, I'm thirsty for that. I'd love to have heaven as my home. I'd love to have forgiveness in my heart for my sins. He said, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. Well, I'm not like all the other kids that grew up in church. You don't have to. Whosoever will means you. Well, my parents, at that time, they weren't saved. Yeah, doesn't matter. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. And so I came, as he said, bowed my head, and said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I might be the worst sinner you've ever dealt with, but I'm asking you to forgive me and come into my heart, save me. And you know what? He did. And now heaven is my home. And there's a place already being prepared for me. Not because of me, because of Jesus and what he did for me. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's talking, no one's looking around. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure that I've ever been saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Pray for me. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else should say, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. In just a moment, we'll give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come. Someone will take a Bible and they'll show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. Won't take long. You've already heard it from the Scripture. But if you're not sure you're saved, in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to come and let us show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian, you're already saved. You say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over as a Christian? God's speaking to your heart. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation now. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for the promises of God that you're coming again, or if you don't come, when we die, we'll be with you. You said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And God, we look forward to heaven. And I pray that you'll help people now. One said they're not saved. Please save them. I'm sure there are others that are not saved here today. Please save them. And help Christians with whatever you've dealt with us about. Speak to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God's speaking to your heart today. If you are not sure that you're saved, right now, as the instruments are playing, you come. Someone will take a Bible. They'll show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. You say, well, I like that heaven. I like what you talked about. Then you come. You let us show you today how to go to heaven. God will save you today. Christian, God's speaking to your heart. Many raised your hand. You come. Come and pray. Kneel at the altar. Make the decision God's laid on your heart. Come on. Right now, God's speaking to your heart. You have a decision to make. You come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments play. If you have a decision to make, do not leave without making that decision. Whatever God's laid on your heart, whatever God's spoken to you about, that's why we came today. That's why we're here. For God to do something in our lives. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Well, heaven, it is our blessed hope. Something to be excited about. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the invitation's still open. Others need to come. The invitation's still open. If you have a decision to make, you still can come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll have another verse. Need to come. You think about heaven, you might get excited like the shepherds. I love the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." I wish we would really believe that. This way, please. At 4:30, we have our cantata drama team practice, so make sure you are here. There is no ensemble practice at 4:30. However, at 5 o'clock, there is all the different groups except for the 4th through 6th grade choir. They will not have practice, but there will be choir. There will be teen meeting at 5. There will be prayer times, men and ladies, and all the other activities, 1st through 3rd grade choir, etc. 5 o'clock, and then of course our service tonight at 6 o'clock, so keep that in mind. And we have a decision. David here got assurance of salvation today, praise the Lord, and that is a blessing. And we are so glad to have all of you here today. Appreciate you coming, and I trust that if you see a visitor, make sure you shake their hand and thank them for being here. Brother Don, come close in prayer.
Father, we thank you for heaven. Thank you for the promise of the glory of it, perfect, peaceful, provided by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, if there's yet one that doesn't know him personally, not assured that heaven is their home, We pray today that they would make that decision, ask the question, and make sure of that today before they leave. And Lord, as we go through this week, may we think on heaven. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit encourage us with the message that Pastor has given us this morning. Ask, Lord, your protection upon us. Gather us together again this evening. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.